And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is about binding and loosing. And we're going to talk about a little bit about what that means. I gave you definitions a few weeks ago. I'll give you a few more this week. We're going to dig a little bit deeper. But we have to address the root problem. In life, if we don't understand what the root problem is, we'll keep treating the symptoms rather than treating what really is ailing us. You know, it was said, and I don't know if it's a true story. It was just a story I heard. But it said years ago in sanitariums where there would be people that would have some challenges, they would test them to see if they were ready to go back out into the real world, because they would put them in a closet, they would turn on the water, plug the drain on a sink, and then shut the door and wait 20 minutes. When they came back 20 minutes, they'd open up the door to see how the person was responding. And if the person was vigorously mopping up the floor and never shut the water off, it was a good indicator they're not ready for the real world, because they were addressing the mess on the floor but not addressing the source of the mess. And I would just suggest to you today that maybe sometimes we've been busy mopping up the floors and treating the symptoms in our life rather than addressing the source of those issues, the source of those problems in our soul. And today we'll find out that God says, I've given you some keys to the kingdom, binding and loosing, so that you can address those sources for those doors that need to be shut and locked and for those that need to be opened up. So that's the direction that we're gonna go this morning. I want to focus primarily today on stronghold thinking. We'll get to what that is in just a moment. But to bind and to loose means there's something that we need to do, and there's a reason that we need to do it. Now, God's will for you and for me is that we become new creations, right? Yeah, that's His desire. Old things have passed away, all things become new. We become new creations. He says, I desire more than anything else that you become a new creation. Now, we know and we've learned over the last few weeks and hopefully over the last few years that this comes through salvation first. That is the primary. You find there's no other way. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You invite Him in through those doorways of salvation. Then it's through the process of surrendering our soul. You see, giving your heart to Jesus, you say, Lord, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. Bam, it's done. But then the next process is a surrendering process that is just simply that, a process. It means it's going to take time. It means that surrendering once and for all is where it starts. But that's just the beginning. You have a surrendering process. You see, sometimes you're going to find out, you say, I'm not doing very good. I asked Jesus into my heart, and I'm so frustrated because I keep sinning, or I keep thinking about these thoughts, or I keep doing this, and I have to go back and surrender and surrender and surrender. God must be fed up with me. I would like to pose the opposite to you, that God is very well pleased because you keep coming and surrendering. So many of us get caught up in this religiosity that says, I'm saved, I don't have to do anything else, I can kind of just slide in safe to home. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, are you saved? Yes. But there's a surrendering process. Because I don't know about you, when I gave Jesus come into my heart, did I ever have an impure thought after that? You better believe it. What'd you do? Well, I don't want to tell you, to be honest. Because sometimes I surrendered, sometimes I didn't. And when I say surrendered, I mean surrendered that to God, not to self. So, this is a surrendering process. So this is God's will for you and for me, that we become new creations, ones that have asked Jesus into our heart, bam, we're saved. But then surrender, get into this process, because some of us, you know, we may have to, there might be a surrendering process where it's like every 2 weeks, I feel like I'm coming back saying, Lord, I just need to kind of correct myself back to you. So some of us feel like it's every day. Some of us feel like it's every 10 minutes. The question is not how often are you surrendering. The question is are you surrendering at all? Or are you just, you know, kind of floating on a cloud, trying to get by and hoping everything works well, you know, everything comes out in the wash, so to speak, when that day comes. God's will for you and me is that we're new creations. But you and I, guess what? We're going to have to make a choice. Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago? It all begins with a choice. You and I, He didn't make puppets. He's not a puppet master. He wants real relationship, which means that we have a choice. But God's will for our life is going to require us to choose to call our life here on earth into two things, alignment and agreement with God. Now, I don't have an outline for you this week, okay? There's two reasons for that. Number one, I was at the Bulls game. Number two, I don't always put in the outlines because I want you to write things down. I want you to scribble down what you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I have no problem with outlines. And if you're here today and you're like, Pastor, you're messing with me. My binder will be incomplete if I don't have this week. We will have that for you, okay? Because when we get done, we'll print that off. We'll put it back at the information center. You can get all those there. If you've not been here over the last few weeks that we've been talking about the soul man, you can catch up on that. You can go on YouTube, by the way. Isn't that crazy, YouTube? Like, if I was a kid and you said something about YouTube, we'd be like, what are you talking about? It's all over the place. You can go watch some of those. You can get the outlines back there and catch up on what we're talking about. But write these two words down, alignment and agreement. These are two important words. God's will for you and I is that we make a choice to call our life on earth into alignment and agreement with God's will in heaven. Now, these are two important words. I love that word alignment. Many times we have to make adjustments in life, right? How many of you have ever had to have your car into the shop and get it realigned? Okay. Well, the reason that you had to take your car into the shop and get it realigned is because it was out of alignment, which means that things aren't straight, things aren't fixed, things aren't focused dead on, okay? And so when you're driving down the road and you let go of the steering wheel, you go this way, or you let go and you go that way, you know, and you got to know when it's the wind or when it's, you know when your car's out of alignment, don't you? Because you can feel that tug against the steering wheel. And what happens is a lot of times with our cars, what we do is when they're out of alignment, we know that we need to go get them fixed, but we don't go get them fixed right away for two reasons. Time is one and money's the other. We say, it's going to take time out of my day and I'm so busy and it's going to take money out of my wallet, which I don't want to pay. Hey, I'm with you on that. I don't want to pay either. But have you found out that if you don't pay attention to getting your car realigned, that all it's going to do is create further problems for your car later on down the road? Your tires get bald on one side and get all, you know, whacked out. And there's other things. Obviously, I don't know much about cars, except when they don't work, I take them to a mechanic. But I know that if you keep your car out of alignment, it's going to cause problems, further problems that will cost you more time and more money. And God says, listen, I want you to align yourself with me, because if you don't do it, it's going to cost you in the long run. There's how many times in life have you been going along and you just feel like the world's pulling you this way and then the world's pulling you that way, and you just need to stop and say, no, I'm going to realign everything to God's will for my life. You do that through binding and loosing. See, if you don't do it, it's going to cost you in the long run. You're going to say, I know I need to bind this, I know I need to loose that, or I know I need to realign my heart with God's will, but I'm too busy, or it's going to take too much time, or simply I don't want to do it. I want somebody else to do it for me. You see, we don't do it. And what happens is it will cost us later on down the road. It'll cost us in the avenues of anger, resentment, bitterness, jealousies, things that'll start to come up because we're not aligning our spirit with God. He says, God's will is that we become new creations, and we will find that as we choose to call our lives here on earth into alignment with Him and agreement. And agreement. Agreement's another key word. Agreement's interesting because just because we're supposed to agree doesn't mean that we have to like what it is we're agreeing to. Did you follow that? Many of us feel that in order for me to agree means I have to like that which I'm agreeing to, otherwise I cannot agree, and that's not true at all. If God's calling you to obey something or to agree with what it is that He says, I want you to like it, I want you to want it, but if you don't, it doesn't make it any less right. Our will to be connected with His has to be brought into alignment and agreement. There has to be a connection that's made. You know, when I was younger, I had a 1969 Plymouth Barracuda. It was a sweet car. The only problem was is it was my grandma's car before it was mine. It was pea green in color. It's really hard to act cool in high school when you show up, you know, pea soup on four wheels, you know, rolling in, and they're like, what happened to your car? You know, so I had to get it painted real quick, but the Barracuda was really nice. And the fun thing about the keys I had was, do you remember back in the day, the keys you had, they were like so light, and they were made out of like Pepsi can material, you know, that's what it felt like. You had one key for the ignition, and then you had a whole nother key for the door and for the trunk, and you thought you were cool because you had two keys, and whew, man, you're spinning your keys, looking all cool. Nowadays, the keys they make, it's two different ways. They upgraded to a stronger key with a big, thick, black knob on the front. You still had the key, but it was stronger and more durable. But nowadays, they have key fobs, right? How many of you guys have key fobs? See, there's a lot of them out there. Just because the look of the key changed does not replace the fact that it's Not a key. It still is a key, right? This key fob is so technologically advanced that it's, they said, this is your key fob. I remember when I got my first one, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? They said, well, stick it in the ignition. And I'm like, that thing's huge. But what happens is when you take that key fob and you put it into the car, there is an agreement that is taking place between the computer and technology works from the key to the computer of the car, that when that key fob meets the computer of that car, it says, yes, you can now start the vehicle. And I said, that is so cool. I said, so any of these key fobs, can I go to a different car and stick it in there and turn it on? And they said, no, absolutely not. You can't do it. Why not? Because this key fob has been uniquely programmed and created for this specific car, and it will not work until you put that key in the ignition. The connection is made, the agreement is made, and the van says, okay, we can now start. You see, the same is with God's will. You guys, myself, we've been uniquely and we've been uniquely created. We've been wonderfully made. And God says there's something about this uniqueness and this creativity that when you connect it with God's will and you start walking in alignment to His Spirit and in agreement with His will, then all of a sudden you get all of God's attention and doors start to open in a whole new way. That happens through binding and through loosing. You see, Satan's plan, his plan is to drag you down. Did you know that, by the way? Okay. Yeah, nowhere have we seen Satan being nice to us. His plan is to drag us down. He wants to weigh us down with lies through distortions until he breaks our will. Do you remember where your will is located? Do you remember? Yeah, it's in your soul. My soul, I am a spiritual being. I have a soul. I live in a body. And within that soul, it is comprised of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Do you realize or do you notice that when the enemy comes, well, does he attack us physically? Well, you know, maybe sometimes, but does he attack us spiritually? Absolutely. But what's his goal? His goal is always to attack your soul so he can break your will. Because if he can break your will and keep it from being focused on the Spirit of God, he's got you. He's got you. So this is the battle that's taking place and that's going on. And if we will allow our will to be in harmony with the Spirit of God, if we walk in alignment and agreement with the Spirit of God, then we will be connected with the very Spirit that will give us life. But if we say no to God, then we are ultimately agreeing with what we want, which is our soul, and we will be left with our soul. Our soul is very powerful. Our soul wants, yeah. And sometimes our soul says, I don't want to say no to God, but I don't want to say yes to Him either. So I'll just kind of not do anything, thinking that we're just hanging out. Anything other than yes to Him is no. There's no purgatory in the middle. There's no common ground. There's no just hanging out till I make up my mind. If He says go and you do not go, then it's no. Then it's no. And He says, I want you to connect in alignment and in agreement with the very Spirit of God so that God can take us to these places without the enemy always tripping us up. So it's time to get down to the basics of changing and impacting lives for God. The lives of ourselves, the lives of others, the lives of our friends, the lives of believers, the lives of non-believers. You know, God came to seek and save who? The lost. So He came for the lost. He didn't come for just the Christians and say, hey, you guys got a leg up, so I want to pour forth my Spirit on you. I'm not going to do it over here. He came for the lost. You know, our vision statement here at the church, we came up in a staff meeting recently and realized we don't have anything around here proclaiming our vision statement, which is simply this: to be a light in a dark place that shows the love of God in a practical way to attract both the Christian and the non-Christian into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. You know, when I was praying one day, and this is years ago, going way back, well, not that far back, but way back, I remember just praying, and the Lord showed me this picture, and it was like a lighthouse, almost like a bat signal, if you will, going through the community. And it was dark in our community. You know the dark where you can't see your hand in front of your face? And you don't know where you're going, so you're trying to just fake it till you make it and bump along. Sometimes you feel like you're doing that in life, right? Just kind of bumping along. But all of a sudden, when a light passes by and you get a quick glimpse of the surroundings, you go, and you look where the source of the light came from, and you start going towards that. I believe that God has planted us here in such a way that people see that light, they see that love. And you know who they see it through? You. They see it through us. And when they see that, they're attracted to that. But not only is God going to pour forth into those who are non-Christians who are being brought to this church, it's those who are Christians into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, which means learning about our soul, learning that he's given us these keys, and learning how to use them so we can become better in our spirit and in our soul. So it's time to get down to these basics. Nearly every one of us have heard at some point through the Bible about binding and loosing. Maybe you've heard a message, somebody else has preached on it, somebody else has taught on it. The most important thing is that you always bring it back to the Word of God. Always bring it back to the Word of God and what he has to say. Now, I gave you 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it was, some definitions for binding and loosing. I'm going to read them to you, but I also threw a couple here that I just want to focus on for today. The Greek word for bind is the word deo, okay? And it means to bind, to be in bonds, knit, fasten, tie, wind. This isn't up there. This is from a couple weeks ago. This word is related to diamoia, meaning to petition, to beseech, make request, and pray. To bind also means to obligate yourself to someone, a really good thing to know when corralling your unsurrendered soul and making it submit to God's will. You see, I put up there, binding prayers stabilize you. They steady you. And they give you a spiritual seatbelt to Jesus when you pray them right. You know, life has a way of going fast, doesn't it? You ever been in a fast car, getting jostled around? Hey, have you ever been, someone's going so fast it makes you think of the seatbelt, so you start putting it on because you realize you didn't do it earlier? Why are you putting the seatbelt on? Well, you're doing it so that you can be safe. That's the ultimate goal. Unfortunately, today, we're driving down the road. We tell people, put your seatbelt down because you'll get a ticket. It's against the law. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I want to keep you safe. You see, he says, when you bind, pray binding prayers, what it does is it puts on your spiritual seatbelt. Because sometimes in life, you hit some rocky ground, don't you? You hit some terrain. You ever take your car through certain terrain that's bumpy and hard to get around? Put your seatbelt on so you don't fall out the car. In our spiritual life, put your seatbelt on. Because sometimes life gets rocky. What am I supposed to do when I'm going through this divorce? This person's cheated on me. They're saying they don't want to be around me any longer. I'm losing the business. I'm filing bankruptcy. What do I do? Put your seatbelt on. You start praying binding prayers that say, Lord, I'm binding my mind to the mind of Christ. I'm binding my will to the will of the Father. I'm binding my emotions to the stabilizing power of the Spirit of God. You know, we gave you that prayer a few weeks ago. If you don't have it, we've got it back at the Information Center. By the way, it's not like that prayer is the golden prayer. If you pray anything else, it won't work. You just start praying, binding your will to God's will. And you ask for His will to be accomplished in your life. That's what it's about. Sometimes we don't like the seatbelt, do we? My daughter never liked the seatbelt. She was the Houdini of car seats. I mean, you remember putting babies in car seats? What a pain in the butt, right? And I doubt it's gotten any better. You put the car seat in and you strap the car seat down. You put the kid in the car seat. You put a couple straps. You got a buckle here. You know, duct tape over there. Pull this lever. You know, put your knee into the chest. Pull a couple times. And you get the kid. And the kid's like, you know, that's about how they are. However, Drea had this gift for getting out of any car seat. I don't know how she did it. I really don't. And she loved it. You could tell that cocky little smile on her face. She'd be like, You know, like I got out of it again. We put her in that car seat and we get in the driver's seat and, whew, okay, let's go. And you turn the ignition and you look at her and she'd be up by your car seat going, hi, Daddy. How'd you get out of that car seat? She'd just smile at you. You put her back in the car seat. I mean, I threatened duct tape on her. That's how bad it was. You put her in 2-3 times. She just knew a way to get out of it. Sometimes God says, I want you to put on your spiritual seatbelt and start praying these binding prayers. And we're like, it's not. I don't want to do that. I don't want to submit to that. But if you're not willing to submit to that process, you're left with yourself instead of the very Spirit of God. When talking about loosing, there's a word loose, the Greek word loose. Now, I'm reading the definition from a couple weeks ago that just gave more in-depth. This is what the word means. It means to loosen, to break up, to destroy, dissolve, unloose, melt, and put off. The Greek word is luo. Luo is closely related to another word that I can't even pronounce, which means to break, wreck, cracked asunder by separation of its parts, shatter into minute fragments, disrupt, lacerate, convulse, burst, render, tear. Those are some pretty descriptive adjectives, aren't they? I mean, that's a pretty serious prayer. And God says, that's a key that I've given to you. When you pray to loose the effects and the works of that Satan has had on your life. It's not just saying, he's going up to Satan going, stop it. No, he says, tear asunder, wreak havoc, disrupt, lacerate. You can't do that, but God can. And when you use your keys, that's exactly what's happening. You see, you and I are going to be intensely engaged in a spiritual battle. To loose, here I put up, loosing prayers, shatter stronghold thinking, smash and slash deception, and allow you to perform self-surgery on your own soul. Now, what in the world does that mean? I'm not suggesting you guys go home and get out the butter knife, okay? What I'm saying is, God says, you know that stuff that's held you up, the things that you've agreed with in wrong ways, that you feel guilt and you feel shame about? God says, I never wired you to live with guilt and shame. And so we would answer, what am I supposed to do with it? He goes, oh, take out your keys. You guys have been given the keys. I've been given the keys of binding and loosing. And if you've grown up thinking that you believe the lie that you're unloved, if you believe that lie, he says, use your keys and bind who you are in Christ Jesus, to Christ Jesus, and loose that wrong thinking, those negative emotions. You got the power to do that. You see, when you understand that you've got keys and that these keys will actually bring you into alignment with the Spirit of God, and they will connect in a way that brings power, you can have an ignition that takes place, then the enemy is going to start coming after you. You know why? Because now you've got the keys and you know how to use them. If I had keys, let's say my son was 9 years old. If I threw him the car keys and I said, have at it, how many of you think that's going to turn out well? Probably not. Only because he doesn't understand the responsibility that comes along with those keys. I don't give keys to anybody in my house and just say, hey, what are you guys doing in 3 weeks? Here's the key. You want to swing on in? Go ahead. We don't do that. Why? Because there's a responsibility that we have with the keys that we've been given for that which we're stewarding. And if I were to just let my son drive the car at the age of 9, chances are he'd wreck the car, wreck the house, wreck somebody else's car. He might hurt himself. He might hurt me. You know, I don't know how that would turn out. There's a responsibility that he has to grow into and learn. But does that change the fact that he'll ever get the keys? No. He'll have to work towards that. Yet God comes and says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom of God. And you and I would probably say, but we don't know what to do with them. Well, that's why we're talking about this. By the time we get done with this series, you guys need to know right now, he's given you the keys to the kingdom. Matthew chapter 16. Let's just read it. Refresh our memories. I'm going to be bouncing around Matthew chapter 16. I might just refer to it a couple times today because what I'm hoping to do is just lay the groundwork about stronghold thinking and why we get stuck where we're stuck. And we'll launch off that for next week. Matthew 16:16 is up where, remember I said at the beginning of the service, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, well, some of them say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And then he said, but who do you say that I am? And the answer that came forth, Peter said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Peter, for you flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And then he goes on to say, you know, you're Peter, you're on this rock, I'll build my church. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed where? In heaven. Whatever you do down here affects up there as long as it's in alignment, in agreement with the will of God. That means that you can't just go and bind yourself to a new Ferrari, okay? Give it a, you know, you can do that all day long. Lord, I'm binding my will to this new car and to this Ferrari. And since I bound it here on earth, your word says it's bound in heaven and you're going to give it to me, right? Probably not, because it's probably not his will for your life, because he knows once you get in that Ferrari, you're going to drive around and make it all about you. See, my point is sometimes we think these keys, don't misuse these keys. Don't use these keys as ways to say, now I can get whatever I want. It's keys that will help you get what it is that is God's will for your life. And what's interesting is many times we fight this thinking that God's will for us is going to be boring. God's will for us isn't going to be any fun. God's will for us is going to be all that stuff. It's like eating vegetables. I don't want to eat the vegetables, you know. That's God's will. No, God says, I want to give you all it is, that all my blessings. I want to be your provider. I want to be your healer. I want to be your deliverer. But you've got to come into my presence. You got to come into my presence, and you've got to use your keys. Do you realize the price that he paid for these keys? He sent his son to die on a cross, and while he was buried in the tomb, he went to the pit of hell, and he took the keys of death and hell and the grave, and he came back and said, I own these suckers, and I give them to you. Think about that. We're so caught up in our world that all we can see is we got to get to work later on today. How are we going to pay the bills? What are we doing for lunch? When's he going to stop talking? These keys that God has given us will answer a lot of the struggles and the problems we've been going through when we've been dealing with relational issues. We've been facing difficult times. We don't understand this is a spiritual issue. We just see it like a physical problem. And we're just going to wait it out and hope it gets better. Good luck with that. These keys that God gives us, binding and loosing, when you use them effectively, you and I will be intensely battled whenever we try to pursue God's plans for our future. If you go after God's plans for your future, Satan will wage a very personal assault on your life. Well, thank you, Pastor. That's one of the reasons I've not been proactive, because I know if I draw near to him, yeah, he'll draw near to me, but so does the enemy, and he bops me in the eye every time. I'm getting tired of getting punched. Me too. But I tell you what, we've got some keys that he doesn't know about. And you start using those keys, and every punch he throws your way is going to be blocked. Every time you use your keys to bind your will, your mind, your emotions to the Holy Spirit, to Father God, then all of a sudden, the Father steps in. Not that he doesn't before, but there's all of a sudden new understanding, a new perspective that you have. Because you're using your keys. And you start loosing those wrong ways of thinking. Then all of a sudden the enemy can't come and slip that temptation in front of you and have it affect you the way it did before. Why? Because you're binding your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotions to Jesus instead of anything else. Then it can't affect you like it did before. See, many times we feel that we're never going to be good enough to receive God's plans for our lives. You see, you're not just some no-name, faceless, little Christian. That not at all. You've been sanctified, redeemed, and bought with a price. Let me put it in some other words. Sometimes we feel like we're nothing. No, God says you're forgiven even when you did not deserve it. Isn't that great news? He says you are loved even when you feel like you're unlovable. He says you have been rescued when you were unable to do it on your own strength. He says you have been given grace when you were guilty and you didn't feel like you deserved it. God extended his grace to you and me. God embraced you. God embraced me even when we did it again. You know what I mean by that. We did it again. Lord, I'm so sorry. And it feels like such a vicious cycle. Will we ever get off of this? Yes, use your keys. It'll get you off of that cycle. You see, God knows who we are and loves us where we're at. He knows our name. Think about, I used this before. Do you remember, I'm going to go to high school because that's where it happened for me. It's when I started getting interested in girls. You know, there's a time where you grow up and it's all about rocks and frogs and dirt and I'm never going to shower. And then all of a sudden someday you wake up and where do these girls come from? My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. I got to go take a shower quick, you know, and you start changing everything about you. All of a sudden, girls become interesting. Girls don't laugh too much. You did it with the guys too. You just have a different way of doing it. And all of a sudden, you want to put your best foot forward, and you're like, oh my gosh, look at this. You start crushing on somebody, and you're like, oh my geez, they're so hot. And oh, if they only knew how I felt. And you never let them know that. Never, never let them know that, because they might squash you. You're right. Right? And so you don't want to put it out there. So it's better to just hold on to this dream. And all of a sudden, one day, they walk by and they say, hi, Jim. And you go, hi. She knows my name. She knows my name. She may not ever talk to me again for the rest of her life. But I don't care. Because the one I deemed so important and so hot and so worthy of my time that I was daydreaming all day, and her name was Lisa. All of a sudden, she knows my name. You remember what that was like when all of a sudden somebody that you just daydreamed about and thought about a lot, all of a sudden they know your name. It's like somebody put an air pump in your chest and you're like, that's right. She knows my name. You see, God knows who you are right where you're at, all the good, all the bad, all the ugly, and he loves you. Just right where you're at. And you say, but I want to love him the way he loves me, but I know me, and I'm not very good. He's getting a bum deal. I get all this grace. I get all this humility. I get all this these blessings God pours in, and he gets this. But you see, the problem is you're looking at this from your perspective, not from his. And when he looks at you, he says, they know my name. Do you know how much God loves you? And how much he just longs for you to enter into relationship with him? He's got keys for you. And he says, if you would just walk with me and find out how much I'm madly and passionately in love with you, you would never want to leave my presence. You see, you find that out when you start focusing your mindset on binding your mind to the mind of Christ, loosing those wrong thought patterns, loosing that anger. You see, this is a personal relationship, by the way. You can't go binding other people to other things. You can't go loosing other people to other. You take care of yourself, and you let God speak to you about you. And you'll find out that God will empower you. You will be intensely battled, but you will win. You have the victory. Why? Because he knows your name, and he loves you. We are the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. That was page one. He loves us so much, folks. Let me tell you, I'm going to give you a few things, and I'm going to kind of give them to you to write down, and then I'll let you sit on that for this week, okay? And I want us to think about this, because here's stronghold thinking. I said I wanted to talk to you about stronghold thinking, and I'll talk to you about what it is, but stronghold thinking, first of all, is a result of three things, and here they are. Unmet needs, unresolved issues, unhealed hurts. Sound familiar? Also known as the committee. Remember the committee a couple weeks ago? If you didn't join us a couple weeks ago, we talked about the unsurrendered soul, the part of our soul that when our needs go unmet, our issues go unresolved, and we have hurts that are not healed, the soul will stand up and say, I want what I want. And the Spirit of God, you'll hear your spirit say, this is the way we need to go. And your spirit's going to say, no, I want to go this way. This is the way we've done it for years. This is the way we've always done it. So why would you want to change anything? The soul will fight for its right to be in control. And all of a sudden, it'll try to get you to buy into a lie. And when you agree to the lie, you will erect a stronghold thought process in your life, and you will then end up protecting the lie and the stronghold that's been erected. Whew, that was a lot. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, let me back up a little bit. Let me start with this. Satan is no dummy. Okay? Did I share that song I used to sing on the swing set this service yet? Okay, that was first service. When I was a little kid, I used to sing this song. I don't know if you remember, but it was, well, Jesus and me, we both agree. Do you remember this at all? Well, Jesus and me, we both agree. Jesus and me, we both agree. I love him and he loves me. All my sins have washed away, I've been redeemed. And I used to sing it while singing while swinging on the swing set. Man, that was a tongue twister. But then the second one went, well, Satan and me, we don't agree. And I'd sing it again. Well, Satan and me, we don't agree. I hate him and he hates me. All my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed. It was a cool little song, and I sang it at the top of my lungs because I could. You know, there's nobody judging me. I can't tell you how many times I've gone back to that song. And I've seen God just standing there watching me going, belt it out, go, you know. And here's the reality, though. I would sing, Satan and me, we don't agree, I hate him. And I had as a kid, you know, I was a kid, okay, I was like 6 or 7. But just because I hate him and he hates me doesn't mean that he's a dummy. He's very clever. He is a master deceiver. And I'll tell you something. He knows full well your fears. He knows full well your pains. And that is his only edge over your life. That's it. We just exposed him. We know he's a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He's a liar. But the only edge he has over your life and over my life is though he knows full well our fears and our pains, it does not mean that he has any control over them. He will lay those out, and people will ask at times, well, doesn't he know my thoughts? Can he read my mind? Doesn't he know exactly how this is going to turn out? No, he isn't reading your mind, and he doesn't know all that. He watches your game tape is what he does. Remember, I've shared this before. In football games, when they go and they get ready to face their opponent, they go the weeks before and watch the team and find their weaknesses, and they find out where they're not strong, and they attack those weaknesses. The enemy does the same thing. He watches you. And he finds out what you're afraid about, what you're anxious about, what it is that you get tripped up on. Every time you turn on that computer and look at it, he writes it down in his book and goes, ah, Pornography, there's one. Every time you get that substance and you abuse it, and you don't want to. I know you don't want to. He may even know you don't want to. But he doesn't care about you. He says, I'm going to use that one too. And he writes it all down there and takes every fear, every worry, every addiction, every pain, and he uses that to trip you and me up. And he uses that as his edge. How can we ever compete with that? Use your keys. Binding and loosing. Binding your mind, your will, your emotions, your thought processes, your addictions, all of it. You say, I'm binding my spirit to the Spirit of God. I'm binding who I am as Jim Machen and a son of the Most High God to the very Spirit of God. And I'm loosing all those wrong thoughts. I loose all those wrong patterns. I loose those addictions in my life. I can only do that for me. You've got to do it for you. Because they're your keys and it's your car. If I try to use my keys in your car, it won't work. You've got to take that responsibility on your own. You see, he has been attacking us our whole life. And he used these fears and these pains as the edge over our life. And he's been using them to attack you and me. And you and I believe we were only protecting ourselves by the stronghold that your soul had built. But you've actually been cooperating with the enemy's plans against you. How does he get you to do that? He will tell you a lie. You will believe the lie as though it were true. You will then erect a stronghold thought process to protect the lie because you know it's a lie, but you've got to have some kind of a stronghold thought process so you don't look stupid or you don't look wrong. And you actually protect the lie, and the enemy just has to step back because you're going to do your work for him, or his work for him. And he'll move on to the next one. We don't like it. We don't even see it sometimes. For some of us, this might be revelation, and you're like, oh, that jerk. That's how he does that. Why is it that we keep repeating that cycle? Sometimes it's because we bought into the lie. So first of all, you got to start with understanding what a stronghold is. The origin of the word, the Greek, comes from, I'm going to try to say the word, ocheroma, a Greek word, which basically... it basically means to fortify. It means to fortify by holding safely. A stronghold is what's used to fortify and defend a personal belief, idea, or opinion against an outside or against outside opposition. If you've believed and bought into a lie, your soul will defend. Your soul will fight to defend at times that wrong belief. The lie might be that you were unloved. It might be that you were unwanted. It might be that you were unnecessary, unsuccessful, unworthy, or any combination of the unwords. You can take those in. If you believe any of those, your soul can erect a stronghold thought process to protect that lie as if not to let anybody see it, but you actually end up nurturing it. The enemy loves that. Satan knows if you've decided the lie must be true, your soul will erect a stronghold to defend your right to believe it. Satan knows this, and he loves it. He knows it, and he loves it. We're just exposing the enemy and some of his plans here. He says, if you and I have decided that the lie that we believed must be true, our soul, what it will do is erect a stronghold thought process to defend your right to believe it. And then he just feeds that. However, you've got to know Satan's not the root of your problem. He's just using... Now, ultimately, yes, as Satan, he's the root. But in this process of binding and loosing and stronghold thinking, because that's what stronghold thinking is, buying into a lie that's not true and then defending that lie because of the stronghold we built up in our soul. How do you overcome something like that? Well, that's one of the things we're going to start learning next week to use our keys. So when you come back, I want you thinking about some of the strongholds that you've been building up in your life. It can be since the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, 88, 888. I don't know. I'm sure nobody's 888. But you get my point. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. Our souls are very powerful. Our soul wants what our soul wants. And sometimes, without even consciously knowing it, it wants to build a stronghold to protect a lie rather than use the keys that God gives to reveal the truth. And we'll build that stronghold. Satan's not the root. But what he does is he uses those things that are existing in our life right now. And he uses those and stirs those up as if trying to defeat us. But you and I, we've been given the keys. We have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And it says that these keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you do downstairs will have an effect upstairs. And it will be a kingdom principle. So when we come back, what we're going to talk about next week is simply this. If this is the stronghold thinking that he's erecting in our life, could this be why? Is this what's been holding me? Is this what's been tripping me up? Is this why I'm not experiencing the joy to the fullest? Is this why I don't see that breakthrough in that area in my life that I've been seeking the Lord? Could it simply be that I've not even known I've had the keys in my pocket the whole time? And we're going to learn how to use these keys. So when you come back next week, be prepared. We're going to do it. And bring somebody with you because they need to know that they have the keys as well. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you love us so much that you don't leave us there to just kind of get by and just enjoy life. Lord, I thank you that we can. I thank you that we can enjoy everything that's around us. But Lord, I thank you more so that you desire to reveal truth to us, that you have given us keys to the kingdom of God. And that, Lord, when we walk in agreement with your spirit, we walk in your power, we walk in your might, we walk in your strength. So, Lord, as we leave here today, may we understand that each and every one of us must come to this place of surrendering. So I'm not asking this week that we individually raise a hand or give a challenge, because I'm gonna pose to you that each and every one of us here today have an area of our life that we need to surrender. There is a part in our heart that we've bought into a lie and we believe the lie of the enemy. And today, God wants to correct that in our hearts. So, Father, I pray today that whatever lie it is that we bought into, whatever it is that we've agreed to and said, it must be truth because I believe it, Lord God, would you show us what that is where we need to be corrected? Would you show us where that is where we need to turn it around and say, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all. Lord, I give you that I believe the lie. Some of us here today, you may be just discovering you've been believing a lie for 25 years, and it can feel humiliating, and it can feel embarrassing, and you can feel like you weren't very smart for not seeing it the first time. But can I just simply tell you this? God loves you so much that sometimes he will insult our intelligence to reveal truth to us in a powerful way, and he will love you right where you're at. I pose it to you this way. He did not reveal it to you so that you could feel one way or another. He revealed it to you because he loves you with an everlasting love. So, Father, wherever we've made those agreements that have been wrong, wherever we've believed a lie, wherever we've erected a stronghold, Lord, teach us to use our keys. Lord, we bind our minds to the mind of Christ this day. We bind our very will to you, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we bind our emotions to the balance of the power of your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, today we loose every wrong thought, every negative word, every process that has been agreement with the world and our soul. And Lord, we surrender it to you today. So Lord, I thank you that you love us so much that you would speak truth because it gives us life. In your name, amen.